welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, Westerns. Later on, we hear Gunsmoke from 1953 with William Conrad as Matt Dillon. But right now, it's The Frontier Gentleman with John Daner from March 23, 1958. On CBS, it's director Anthony Ellis's story, The Actress.
It's amazing what a man will do to himself over a woman. And still more amazing what a woman will do to herself over a man. This story happened in Virginia City, Montana Territory.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. In just 1 minute, we will bring you this latest report from the Frontier Gentleman.
What are you stopping here for, Clark? The country club is still a half mile away.
I know, Scarlet. But I don't want to drive up to the club in this low-priced car.
But the snow is 6 inches deep, and I'm wearing my ballerina slippers.
Well, you'll just have to hoof it, baby. I'm not driving any further. You're much too big for a piggyback.
Oh, the snow is cold.
Take bigger steps.
Oh, that won't help. Why don't you get a big car like a swept-wing Dodge?
A Dodge? I can't afford a big car like that.
Oh, yes, you can. Even though Dodge is a big car, it's priced below 59 different models of the low-priced field.
What? You mean I can own a big swept-wing Dodge for less than I paid for my car?
That's right. And you get all that big car roominess and big car luxury. With a Dodge, you get all the car you're paying for.
Okay, Scarlett. Let's forget the Dodge, dear, and go see our Dodge dealer.
Oh, wonderful, darling. On these cold feet, who could dance anyway?
Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
Virginia City, Montana Territory, was particularly noted for three things. Its gold, Henry Plummer and his band of outlaws, and the vigilantes. The vigilantes disposed of the Plummers and were replaced by a more lawful authority, so that by the time I arrived, only the gold remained. And of course, those who sought it, the miners. They filled the town day and night, spending their hard or easily won money in saloons, gambling houses, and hurdy-gurdy establishments. I was attracted to one of these on the night of my second day in Virginia City. It was a brilliantly lit saloon called Skinner's, and outside was a large sign proclaiming the appearance of Miss Eulalia Robinson. I went inside.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll give me your attention, kindly refrain from shooting six guns in the establishment, because the next man that does it's going to get thrown out on his saddle. With your kind permission, I have the honor of presenting the world-famous actress, Miss Eulalia Robinson. She has appeared before the crowned heads of Europe and honors us with a presence tonight by a special appointment to Her Majesty, the Queen of England. Ladies and gentlemen, Henry Irving's leading lady, Miss Eulalia Robinson. For her first recitation, Miss Robinson will give us a scene from William Shakespeare's play, Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. Hey, what are you waiting for? knowest, the mask of night is on my face. Else would a maiden blush bepaint my cheek. For that which thou hast heard me speak tonight, fain would I dwell on form. Fain deny what I...
She was in her late 30s. Not a good actress. Not even beautiful. But her manner, the dignity of carriage, created an illusion of beauty which captivated her audience. She remained on the stage for a solid hour, and by the time she was finished, I could see that every man in that saloon was completely taken by her, and more than one imagined himself to be hopelessly in love.
Boy, ain't she something. Now that's what I call a woman. Hey, where are you going?
I want to meet her.
Who knows? Hey, Fargo, wait.
Mr. Skinner?
Yeah?
My name is Kendall.
What?
Kendall.
Kendall?
Yes, that's right. I'd like to meet Miss Robbins.
Yeah, you and 100 more, it'll tear the place down.
Now, I'm a correspondent for the London Times, newspaper.
Newspaper man?
Yes.
Sure, come on, duck under here. How'd you like it? That's real culture, huh?
Yeah, she's quite a success.
Yeah, she sure is. What paper did you say you write for?
London Times.
Was that so? Well, Miss Robbins will get a kick out of that, you and her both coming from England. Oh, that was just fine, Miss Robinson, real fine. Say, this is Mr. Kendall. He writes on the London Times.
Mr. Kendall.
How do you do?
May I present my business associate, Mr. Grimes?
How are you?
Mr. Grimes?
I guess you folks have plenty to talk about. I'll go on back and get the boys quieted down. Virginia City never heard anything like you gave us tonight, Miss Robinson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Skinner.
Not at all. I'll see you later.
Well, won't you sit down, Mr. Kendall?
Oh, wait a minute. Kendall, you got identification or something proving you're a correspondent?
Not on me, no.
I don't think it really matters.
Well, it does to me. You know what I mean, Kendall. Miss Robinson is popular. A lot of fellas like to come busting in and make any excuse, you know what I mean. I gotta watch out for her interests.
I understand.
And she's kind of tired right now. Why don't you let her go till tomorrow?
If you would rather, Miss Robinson?
No, not at all. I'd rather enjoy being interviewed tonight.
And I say it's not a good idea.
You're being extremely rude, James. Perhaps you'd care to take supper with me, Mr. Kendall.
Why, I'd be delighted.
No.
No?
No, no, she's not gone.
I hope you'll forgive him, Mr. Kendall. He thinks that every man who looks at me is thinking dire and dreadful thoughts.
My intentions are completely honorable, Mr. Grimes.
Lately.
I don't want to discuss it anymore, James. Now, both of you, please wait outside. I must change my clothes. I shan't be a moment, Mr. Kendall.
Listen, Kendall. I'm sorry I acted the way I did, but if I don't keep an eye on her, nobody's going to. You know what I mean?
I think so.
I mean, nothing personal, but as her business manager, I've got to take care of things. Now, she gets awful tired traveling around this way. Best thing for her right now is to go back to the hotel and get some sleep.
As a business manager, Mr. Grimes, I should think you'd be happy to have a newspaper interview.
Well, sure I am. But you know how these actresses are. They're like kids. They don't even know what's good for them.
I hadn't been aware.
Well, take my word for it. So you go on ahead. Now, I'll tell her you see her tomorrow.
Under the circumstances, I'm afraid she'd think it was rather impolite, don't you? Why not wait until she comes out?
All right, we'll make it tonight. A nice quiet supper at the hotel, three of us.
Mr. Grimes, I get the distinct impression that for some reason or other you don't want me to be alone with Miss Robinson. Am I right?
I'm her business manager.
So you said.
And she doesn't talk to anyone unless I'm around.
Strange, I got the impression that she didn't want you around.
I don't care what you think. I'm coming along. If you don't like it, no interview.
There! That didn't take long, did it? Are we ready, Mr. Kendall?
Yes.
Laylee, you're going back to the hotel.
Good night, James. I'll see you in the morning.
We walked down the street to the hotel. She talked about some of her experiences in the territory, rather nervously, I thought, seeming almost deliberately to avoid her background of successes in England. I ordered champagne with dinner, and I could see that rather than making her feel more at ease, the drink only increased her anxiety.
I'm afraid that James is right, Mr. Kendall. I must be tired. Champagne makes me feel quite giddy, but I will have just a tiny drop more.
Of course.
You know, James is very angry with me.
I gathered that.
He's a jealous man. You wouldn't think so, would you? But he is.
I don't think I blame him.
He has no reason to be. We're only business associates. It's not as though we were married or anything. James doesn't believe in marriage. He says it deadens one.
Do you think so?
I don't know. I've never been married. My work hasn't allowed for it.
Did you meet Grimes in England?
Oh, no. No, that was in Boston. He saw me perform and asked to represent my interests.
I see.
Oh, he'll be very angry about this. Me being with you tonight.
May I ask you something?
Please.
Why are you afraid of him?
Afraid? Oh, afraid of James? How utterly ridiculous. Does it show so very clearly?
Yes.
May I have some more champagne? You know I'm not English, don't you?
Yes.
I never played with Henry Irving. Never saw England. Never did any of the things they say I did.
I didn't think so.
By appointment to Her Majesty. James thought that sounded fine. He took it from a bottle of Scotch whiskey. Do you know what I am, Mr. Kendall? I'm a liar. My whole life is a lie. I'm not even a good actress.
I was completely charmed by your performance.
How sweet. How gentlemanly and nice you are. Mr. Kendall, you're terribly attractive. You're the most attractive man I've ever met. No. No, that's not true. My husband was the most attractive man. You see, I lied about that, too.
You are married.
I was. James is always afraid I'll tell someone.
Why?
Well, the marriage didn't end very nicely.
Why do you tell me?
Too much champagne.
I don't think so.
I'm tired, then. I wish I could cry. Do you know, Mr. Kendall? I haven't been able to cry for 3 years. And there are so many tears.
The shots had come from outside. Just for a moment, I saw a shadowy figure at the broken window. Then it was gone in the night. Miss Robinson was lying on the floor. A thin line of blood ran from the corner of her mouth. She was unconscious.
In a moment, we return to Frontier Gentlemen. Today on CBS Radio's Suspense, Vanessa Brown and Jim Amici will co-star in Affair at Loveland Pass, a Western thriller with a psychological twist. Exciting dramas waiting for you, too, on yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Join us on most of these same stations later today as action-packed stories come your way on CBS Radio's Suspense and yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And now we return you to the Anthony Ellis production of Frontier Gentlemen.
Heard. Who did it?
I'm not sure, Mr. Skinner.
Doctor's on his way. Ought to be here in a few minutes. Oh, she doesn't look good.
I think the bleeding stopped.
The boys down in the saloon are mad. Word's got around here in a lynching mood. Sheriff's trying to ease them down.
Mr. Skinner,
Was Mr. Grimes there?
I didn't see him.
I just wondered.
I guess he ought to be told. He's staying down at the Nugget Hotel.
Yes, it might be a good idea.
Well, I'll go on down myself. Now, listen, Mr. Kendall. If there's anything she needs, you sing out. Anything at all. One of my boys will be outside. You just say the word.
Right.
I'll be back.
What a strange feeling.
Miss Robinson?
No pain at all. I've always thought there would be.
The doctor is coming.
I don't really mind, you know.
Don't talk.
Funny. I never believed him. He always threatened to do something like this.
Dr. Todd, where's the wound, please?
Oh.
Kindly wait outside, sir.
Yes.
I'm Dave. Skinner told me to wait. What's the doc say?
Nothing yet.
I'd sure like to get my hands on that feller that done it.
Yeah. I imagine a lot of us would.
She's a lady. A fine lady. Not like them hurdy-gurdies around here. It don't matter if one of them stops a piece of lead. She real bad hurt?
Pretty bad.
You figure it was some crazy liquored up son of a gun, don't you?
I don't know if he was drunk or not.
I mean the fellas would come to see how the lady is.
We don't know yet.
There's more downstairs. We just wanted to know we're going to get the son of a gun to Dry Gulch, sir. Doc Todd come yet?
He's in there now.
Well, you give him this. There's $300 of better gold dust than that. You tell Doc he pulls her through, he'll get another like it. The boys wanted to know they're with her.
Sure do.
I'll tell her.
You do that.
I got a couple of dollars. That goes for me, too. Give it to the doc.
I will.
I can't operate yet. She's lost too much blood.
She's gonna be all right, huh, Doc?
Don't ask fool questions, boy. I'm not God. Right now, she's asleep. Well, you're Kendall, aren't you?
Yes.
Lucky for her you were around. If she lost any more blood, she'd be dead. Well, you might as well get some shut-eye. I'll stay with her.
I left the hotel and went out into the street. There were 50 or 60 men standing about, quietly, waiting. I told them all that I knew. Then I saw Mr. Skinner hurrying up. He motioned to me, and we walked away from the crowd.
Grimes. Couldn't find him.
Oh?
Hotel clerk said he hadn't seen him all night. Now, I've been thinking. Is there something wrong between these two? I heard arguing this afternoon in her dressing room over at the saloon. I didn't think anything of it then, but with this...
I think we'd better find him, Mr. Skinner.
He did it?
I don't know, but it's possible.
I'll get some of the boys.
No.
What's the matter? You a friend of his? You trying to protect him?
Neither one, but all they need is an excuse. If they even suspect someone, they'll hang him. I prefer things more legal.
He's a killer. We've handled that kind before in Virginia City.
Miss Robinson is not dead. No, what I suggest is that you talk to some of the men who aren't likely to take matters into their own hands. Tell them we're trying to find Grimes, that he doesn't know what's happened to Miss Robinson. They can bring him back here.
Then what?
We'll let the sheriff handle it.
All right. But I'll tell you, Kendall, if he puts up a fight, I want to be there. It'll be a pleasure to shoot him.
The search began. At first, only a handful, picked by Skinner, knew what they were looking for. But the word spread, and with it, rumor. Grimes was the man. Grimes had done it. In an hour, every man who knew or cared about what had happened was a hunter. The quarry, innocent or guilty, was James Grimes. And it was obvious that if found, he'd have very little chance of standing trial. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, I returned to Miss Robinson's room. Any change, Doctor?
No. They get the fellow that did it?
Not yet.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it? How come a man would want to kill a woman like this? She's the way I remember a woman should be.
Why don't you get a cup of coffee, Doctor? I'll stay with her until you come back.
I think I will. Stretch my legs a minute.
look a little worse for wear, Grimes.
They're after me. They're trying to kill me.
Any reason why they shouldn't?
Is she dead?
No.
I warned her. I've been warning her what had happened.
Put away the gun.
And get myself killed?
You'll be safer with me than the mob outside.
You! You're the trouble, the reason for everything. It's been men like you everywhere we go. Every town she has to find someone. I warned her. I told her I wasn't going to stand it any longer.
And I heard a different reason.
A different reason? What did she tell you?
About her husband. An unhappy marriage.
She said that? Told you about her husband?
Yes.
You want to know what really happened? She had a husband, all right. In Boston. I didn't know it at the time. I met her. I fell in love. She went away with me. After we were married, she told me.
She is your wife?
Surprising? Look at her. It's another one of her little ways. She thinks it's better if people don't know. She thinks I don't know why she wants it that way. I guess you could say we killed her husband. He committed suicide after she left him. Oh, you don't know. You don't know what it's been like. But I told her what I'd do if she went after another man.
I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter anymore. I hope she dies. Then I won't have to feel these things.
If she dies, they'll hang you.
Yeah. Mm.
James?
Laylee. I'm sorry, Laylee.
Such a jealous boy. I never meant anything.
Don't, Laylee.
I like to flirt. That's all. A woman likes to flirt. It doesn't mean anything. Mr. Kendall knows that.
Can't you stop acting? Even now, can't you stop?
Listen to him, Mr. Kendall. Has he been telling you what a terrible woman I am? I suppose it's true. But you're not much of a man.
Laylee.
You don't have to listen to this, Grimes.
Kill her.
Come outside.
Kill her.
No, you don't. Give me the gun.
Give me the gun. Laylee. Laylee.
She's dead.
Give me my gun.
I can't. You'll get a trial. Perhaps they'll understand.
There'll be no trial.
Now, Grimes, come back.
Grimes!
I think I was rather glad I hadn't stopped Grimes when he went through the window. They killed him. But in this case, perhaps it was better than a public trial and hanging. Miss Eulalia Robinson and James Grimes were buried side by side in Virginia City, Montana Territory.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Jeanette Nolan, Larry Dobkin, Harry Bartell, Jack Moyles, and Jim Nusser. Music was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Now stay tuned for the Ford Roadshow, to be followed by the CBS News over most of these same stations. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentleman. John Wall speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
The Frontier Gentleman, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 23rd, 1958 on CBS.
You're listening to An Hour of Westerns on 2 and 2 Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. And now it's on to Gunsmoke, with a story called Moon, seen on the television version of the show in May of 1957. This first aired on CBS Radio on August 15, 1953. But it had music on that first airing on CBS. What you're about to hear is unedited tape, basically Gunsmoke without the musical bridges. Not only a great story, but a great way to see how the actors heard themselves while recording the show.
Mind if I sit here a while, Marshal?
Of course not. Sit down, Billy.
Hey, you look worried, Billy. A boy like you shouldn't look worried. I'm 21. That's a man's age, isn't it, Chester?
Oh, sure. 21's pretty old, Billy.
Old enough for Frogmouth Kate, anyway. Every time I come to town, that woman won't give me a minute's peace.
Well, maybe she's sweet on you, Billy.
Sweet on me. Look at her at the bar over there. She'll come to and miss me pretty soon. Old enough to be my mother.
Well, then why do you stay here? Why don't you go over to the Longhorn or someplace?
Aw, Kate's all right when she's sober. Just when she gets drunk, she's such a nuisance.
Well, she sure looks drunk now.
She is. And when she's like this, there's no worse woman in the whole world. I could kill her when she gets like this.
Somebody's always going to kill somebody around here.
Oh, that's just a way of talking, Marshal.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you, Billy, but I think Frogmouth Kate has spotted you.
Yeah, I knew she would. She gets lonesome awful fast, that woman.
So that's where you went, Billy. Leaving me all alone? Shame on you, honey.
I gotta catch my breath once in a while, Kate.
You can catch your breath with me, honey. Not with Marshal Dillon and Chester and all the rest of them.
Now, Kate, take it easy.
I'll take it easy. You and me will take it easy in St. Louis, Billy boy.
And quit talking about St. Louis all the time. I ain't about to go to St. Louis. I'm broke right here in Dodge.
I got some money, Billy. Almost I got it. Almost enough. You and me, huh, baby?
Oh, Kate. Why don't you pick on somebody who can at least buy you a few drinks?
Well, they've been buying me drinks. I don't care about them anyway. Let's get married, Billy boy. What do you say, huh? You and me.
See what I mean, Marshal? Ain't she awful?
Well, she likes you, Billy.
Sure. We're a couple of real lovebirds.
Yeah.
Hey, now stop that. Let go of me, Pete. I'll break your head open.
You cute, Billy lover boy.
Joe, cut it out.
Well, if you'll excuse us, we better be moving on. Chester.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right, Chester.
Yes, sir.
So long, Billy. Kate.
Now, you never mind them, Billy boy. They're just a couple of crooks like everybody else, except you, sweetie. You and me, huh?
Poor Billy.
Well, he's got to learn somehow.
I suppose.
Well, the town seems pretty quiet, Chester. I think I'll go to bed.
Good idea, Mr. Dillon. I'll sleep in the office tonight.
All right, I'll see you in the morning.
Good night, sir.
Who is this?
It's Chester, sir. Open up.
Oh, well, just a minute, Chester. Oh, what is it, Chester?
There's been a shooting, sir, in that rooming house next to the Alphaganza.
What? Well, I'll get dressed. Come on inside.
It's been raining a little, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, good. Light that lamp there, would you, Chester?
Yes, sir. They sent for Doc, and he woke me up on his way out.
He know what it was all about?
No, sir. He just said it was in that rooming house.
Yeah. What time is it, anyway?
Oh, it'll be daylight soon. Must be about 4:30.
4:30. It's pretty late at night for a gunfight, isn't it?
Yes, sir. That's what I thought.
There. All right, Chester, I'm ready. Blow the lamp out.
Yes, sir.
That rain sure helps. Wouldn't it be fine if it stayed this cool all day, Mr. Dillon?
No, you'd be lost if you couldn't complain about the heat, Chester.
Well, I'd be willing to think of something else.
Yeah, I suppose. Maud Torvitzer still runs this rooming house, doesn't she?
Last I heard, she did.
Yeah.
Marshal. Down here, Marshal Dillon.
It's Maud Torvitzer, all right.
Hello, Ma.
Right in here, Marshal.
Who was it, Ma?
Frogmouth Kate. She got shot.
Kate?
It's no use, Matt. She hasn't said a word. She's not likely to know.
Who did it, Ma?
Oh, I was asleep, Marshal. Heard a shot and come right down. I sent everybody else back to bed and told them to stay there.
You don't know who did it, then?
He must have jumped out that window right there. You go get him, Marshal. He's got a head start already.
Oh, who, Ma?
Well, that kid, Billy Daunt. Must have been.
Well, why do you think it was Billy?
Because he was drinking with her all night over at the Ala Fraganza, that's why. Been with her all yesterday, I heard, too. Couldn't be nobody else. He stole the money, too.
How do you know he did, Ma?
Well, she showed me once. She kept it right under the mattress there, and it's gone. She had quite a lot of it saved up, too. Everybody knew that. She's planning on going back to St. Louis with it. She wanted Billy to go with her, but I guess he couldn't wait, the little rat. I sure hope I see him hung.
Chester, start looking for him. I'll join you in a few minutes.
Yes, sir. I'll walk back first. She's dead, Matt.
Oh, that poor girl.
It's a wonder she lived this long, being shot so close up.
She didn't say anything, did she?
Not a word, Matt. She was unconscious the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I'll chip in toward burying her, Doc, seeing as how she sort of broke when she died.
Nonsense. Kate was a good girl, and I'll be responsible for her getting a fine burial. Finest there is, but you catch that devil Billy Daunt, Marshal. Don't you let him get away.
We'll find him, Ma.
Well, you sure better.
Well, let me know if you hear anything. I'll see you later, Doc.
Sure, Matt.
Chester and I spent the next couple of hours looking for Billy Daunt, but nobody had seen him since he and Kate had left the Ella Fraganza together the night before. We did learn, however, that he'd been riding for Luke Atkins, and since it was our only lead, we decided to go out to the ranch and have a talk with Luke. It was mid-morning when we rode up to the main house, and at first the place looked deserted.
Anyway, it's cool here under the cottonwood.
Maybe Luke's out on the prairie somewhere.
Well, if he's smart, he's keeping away from the sun right there in the house.
Oh. No, leave the horses, Chester. They'll stand.
All right, you...
Who's that?
Matt Dillon, Luke.
Oh, I just resting a little, Marshal. Hello, Chester.
Hello, Luke.
It's cooler out here. Sit down.
My gracious, what happened to you?
Did it look bad?
Yeah, bad enough to skip church this Sunday, Luke.
Black eye, huh? I ain't got a mirror.
Your jaw's swollen, too.
Fool kid, I never saw him like that before. He must have been drunk.
Billy Daunt?
He's been spending his pay in Dodge the last couple of days. And say, is that why you're here, Marshal? Billy get in trouble there?
Maybe. What'd he beat you up for, Luke?
Why, he just rode in here this morning early and said he needed a better horse than his and wanted my buckskin gelding. He was all excited, and I started to argue with him. He jumped me before I knew what was happening. Knocked me out for a minute, I guess.
He's gone then, huh?
Sure he's gone. I came up to the house here and got my rifle and watched him go. Funny thing, though, he didn't leave right away.
What do you mean?
He fooled around down there in the barn for most an hour. I don't know what he was up to, but I just sat here on the porch with my rifle in case he got any more crazy ideas. He finally rode off, though, headed west.
Well, we're after him, Luke.
Billy in bad trouble, Marshal?
Yeah, it looks like it.
I'm sorry to hear that. He's always been a pretty good boy.
Where are the rest of your men, Luke?
Still in Dodge, Marshal, spending their pay.
Yeah. Well, you take care of that eye. So long.
Goodbye, Marshal. Chester.
Bye, Luke.
Well, there's not much question about Billy now, is there?
Yeah, there sure isn't. Start looking for tracks, Chester.
Yes, sir, I have been.
The ground's still damp from the rain last night. We ought to cut this trail easy.
I don't see anything.
Now, look there, over there. Those are fresh tracks.
Yeah, they're fresh, all right, but they lead toward the ranch, not away from it.
Yeah. Well, let's follow them anyway, Chester.
What?
Come on, let's ride. Chester figured either Billy was riding backwards or I was crazy. But he stopped arguing after a couple of hours, and we rode in silence the rest of the day. Long about dusk, I figured we were catching up with him, but we couldn't afford to lose the trail. And when night came, we made camp. Next morning at daylight, we went on. By noon, it was clear Billy hadn't taken any rest at all. A couple of hours later, we began to wonder how much longer his horse could hold out.
This is the doggonedest hunt I was ever on.
Billy just isn't very smart, that's all.
Well, he must be half crazy, beating up Luke Atkins like that.
When a man's in a panic, he'll do almost anything, Chester.
Well, you'd think he'd at least have sense enough to rest his horse now and then.
That'll be easier for us if he doesn't. Chester.
Hmm?
Look up ahead there.
Hey, by heaven, it's a horse.
Yeah. Huh. That's a buckskin. It's not saddled.
There isn't a thing around, sir. This side of that bluff, anyway.
The bluff's too far away for an ambush. The horse doesn't look very good, does he?
He's not even eating.
Yeah.
Oh.
He may never be any good again. That fool kid.
Well, he can't be very far away unless he's found another horse.
Look at the buckskin's hooves, Chester.
Why, he isn't even shod.
Yeah, Billy pulled his shoes when he left him. He sure made a mistake, though.
What do you mean?
That's what he was doing in Luke's barn, putting the shoes on backwards. Now he's pulled them. He wouldn't fool anybody. All it did was help wear his horse out even more.
He had me fooled for a while. Anyway, we'll catch him pretty soon now.
Yeah, well, his tracks lead toward the bluff there. Probably into that clump of trees.
Well, if that's where he is, he can see us.
All right, we'll ride in from different directions. He can't get both of us.
Okay, sir.
A half hour later, Chester and I had reached the trees about the same time, and without being shot at. There was a spring there, and a tiny cabin, deserted. One set of footprints led up to the place, and two sets led away from it. Billy had taken whoever lived there along with him. Figuring there wasn't too much hurry now, we watered our horses and let them breathe for a while.
The way I figure it, Mr. Dillon, Billy was here about dawn this morning.
Well, he won't be far away, not more than 15 or 20 miles at the most. Unless he's found a horse.
Well, that's why he's carrying his saddle, isn't he?
Yeah. Only Billy isn't carrying the saddle.
What?
He's saving his strength. Whoever was in this cabin is doing the hard work.
You mean Billy took him along just to carry his saddle?
Yeah, he found himself a pack horse, Chester.
Mr. Dillon, I'm getting to have less use for Billy Daunt every minute. Come on, let's ride him down before it's too late for this poor fellow, whoever he is.
All right, Chester. Well, our horses are in good shape. We ought to catch him in a few hours.
I sure hope so.
You take the side of the trail, Chester. Track about 10 yards behind me, huh?
All right, sir.
All right, let's go. Don't bother to watch the trail anymore, Chester. It's headed right for that Nestor's shack there. So keep your eyes open.
You think Billy might still be there?
Yeah, he might be.
Maybe he's inside, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. Let's spread out a little.
All right, sir.
Now, wait a minute. The door.
Who are you?
Are you alone, ma'am?
You the law?
I'm Marshal Dillon from Dodge.
You're too late, Marshal.
You mean he's gone?
He's gone. Take a look around at the side, Marshal. Right around there. Go on, look. Both of you.
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. He was killed with a knife.
Yes, sir, he sure was.
That your husband, ma'am?
Yes.
I'm sorry it happened, but if it's any comfort to you, we'll catch that boy. I promise you that.
Don't matter now.
He had another man with him. Where's he?
Inside. I've been trying to fix him up. He was near dead when they got here. Poor old Clabe.
Clabe?
He's 75 years old, Marshal, and that's too old to be used like an animal. Rotten kid.
I'd, like to talk to him, ma'am.
Come on inside. It's all right, Clabe. Marshal Dillon from Dodge. We've known Clabe for 10 years, Marshal, ever since we've been here. Never hurt nobody.
Sure. Can you talk a little, Clabe?
I'll be all right, Marshal. I'm just kind of wore out. 20 miles packing a saddle in this weather. Fast, too. Had me walk fast.
How long ago did the boy leave here?
3-4 hours, Marshal. Took our mule, but he won't get far.
Oh? Why not?
Mule's too old. After 10 miles, just quit.
Your husband tried to stop him, is that it?
Yeah. Got mad when he saw what the boy had done to Clabe. And the boy knifed him. Never gave him a chance. He's wild crazy.
He sure is, Marshal. Scared, too. I never saw anybody so scared.
He's in a real panic, Clabe. But how come he used a knife? That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, it's all he's got, that's why.
What?
He ain't armed, except for that knife.
He doesn't have a gun?
He took our rifle, but there's no ammunition for it. We run out. Took it anyway.
But when he came to your place, Clabe, didn't he have a 6-gun?
No, sir. Just that knife, that's all he had. I got an old Navy pistol, but it's busted. I ain't been able to get it fixed.
I sure don't understand it, Mr. Dillon.
He's like a wild animal, that's what he is. He oughtn't to be loose.
He won't be for long, ma'am. Clabe, I hope you'll be all right.
I'm just plumb wore out.
Clabe's gonna stay right here, Marshal. Too old to be living by himself anyway.
Good. Well, we'll be gone now, ma'am. But, we'll bury your husband first. Now, if you'll just show us where you'd like to have the grave.
Thank you, Marshal.
The woman wanted her husband buried right where he'd fallen. So we dug the grave there and laid him into it. She watched, straight-faced, without a tear. And she said goodbye and went back into the house. It was just after sunset when we caught up with Billy. Just as the woman had said, the mule had gone 10 miles and quit. Billy saw us coming, started running across the prairie on foot. His panic had made him as nearly brainless as a man could get.
Look at him, Mr. Dillon. Did you ever see anything like this?
He's still got a knife, Chester.
Hold it, Billy. You can't get away.
Right up on the other side of him, Chester.
Yes, sir.
You've run far enough, Billy.
You'll have to shoot me, Marshal.
No, we won't. Take your rope down, Chester.
Good idea, sir.
All right, Chester, let's rope him.
We both got him.
Now stay on your horse, Chester. Just keep your rope tight.
No, hold on. I'll cut you, Marshal.
Let go of the knife, no. Billy. All right, Chester, slack up a little. All right, drop your rope, Chester. I'll tie him up with
it. No, you stay. Draw me.
Hey, you're a wild one, Billy.
You'll never get me back. Not alive, you won't, never.
I think we will.
Let's make him walk back, Mr. Dillon. I won't walk. You can drag me, but I won't walk.
Now we'll throw him across your horse, Chester. You and I can ride double till we make camp. Maybe that'll calm him down.
That Billy won't eat a thing, Mr. Dillon. He's just been crouched over there looking like a cornered animal ever since I woke him up this morning.
Still pretty spooky, huh?
Oh, he sure is.
Well, let's go talk to him. There's some bacon over there, Billy, if you want it. Aren't you hungry, Billy?
I didn't kill her, Marshal.
Oh? You've been running awful hard for an innocent man.
I didn't kill her, I tell you.
We'll let the judge decide that, Billy.
I was waiting for her outside, and I heard the shot. And I went around, and her window was open, and she was lying there. I didn't kill her.
Then why did you run, Billy?
I knew you'd be after me. I had to get away. I ain't going back to Dodge. I ain't going.
Yeah. All right, let's get packed up, Chester. How is he, Chester?
He just keeps standing there looking out the cell bars, but he did drink some of the coffee I left him.
I don't know, Chester. Sometimes I think just the act of running itself makes a man afraid. The more he runs, the more panicked he gets.
Anyway, it ain't healthy. A young boy like Billy.
Well, maybe you'll come out of it in time.
Morning, Marshal.
Yes, sir.
Morning, Mr. Green.
You're up early, Mr. Green.
Well, I heard you brought Billy Dawn in last night, Marshal, so I figured I'd better turn this over to you.
That's six gun. Whose is this?
It's Billy's gun, Marshal. I've been fixing it for him.
Billy's gun?
That's right, Mr. Dillon. Billy didn't have a gun, remember?
How long have you had it, Mr. Green?
Oh, he brought in the first day he came to town, Marshal. A cylinder was loose, been shaving lead. It's okay now. I fix it fine.
You've had it all the time?
Yes, sir. I was just keeping it for him until I heard he'd been arrested.
I see. Well, thanks, Mr. Green. I'll see that you're paid for your work.
Oh, sure, Marshal. That's all right. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Green.
Looks like Billy was telling the truth.
Yeah. You sure can't convict a man of a shooting if he didn't have a gun.
No, sir. But there's that Nestor he killed.
Yeah. And all for nothing.
Yes, sir.
Well, Chester, it's pretty hopeless now, but let's see if we can find out who did kill Kate.
Probably just some thief. Heard about her money.
Yeah. Probably.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday from August 15th, 1953 on CBS. And that brings to a close this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.